Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Mike, appreciate you coming on. How you been?
Zach, what's up? Good to be with you. I know we've tried to do this once or twice in the past and it never quite worked out. I'm glad we made it happen tonight.
Well, great to get you on. So tell me about the new book first, Father of Mine.
Well, you know, this is something that helped fill the void during the pandemic. I told Dan Patrick earlier today, it was the Bermuda Triangle of pandemic, alcohol, and tobacco that got me to sit down and start writing it. My dad actually was a bookie connected to the mob in the town I grew up in.
Wow.
So I picked up secondhand some of the stories over the years, although there was no omerta violated in the writing of this book. Hopefully I don't have to worry about getting whacked. But, you know, I had, and it's just weird where your inspirations come from. I had a weird dream one night a couple of years ago during the pandemic, and I thought about it for a day and I sat down and I started writing. And I write so much at PFT, and it's stuff that by the next day is worthless if it has any value the day it's written. And I wanted something that maybe lasted a little longer, and it was a way to delve into some things that I remembered and things I had heard about, and just try to create a story that I think and I hope people will enjoy. And it's priced to sell at $4.99 for the ebook. Hopefully it's not indicative of the quality. I just want as many people as possible to enjoy it.
Do we get the audiobook version as well? Because that's very popular these days.
Well, you know, it's funny. I didn't do the audio of Playmakers, which was my nonfiction book that came out a year ago. I think I'm going to try this. I'm probably going to regret it because it's a long book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot to have to like read and read accurately and get it right and have the sound in a specific range. There's a lot of technical crap you got to do, but I'm going to give it a try. We'll see how it goes.
So this is like a different venture, it feels like, for you. It gives you a little bit more of the personal side of Mike Florio, is what you're saying?
Well, one thing that I learned, again, this is all during the pandemic. I've always been interested in longer form writing, and I screwed around with it years ago, but pandemic created opportunity to just sit around and do nothing, and you filled the void somehow. And I realized that I have the capacity to create a lot of written content. I don't know if it's any good, but I can make a lot of it. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, budget pizza maybe, but whatever, I can make a lot of it. And, you know, I'm going to have one of these a year at least for the next 7 or 8 years that we make available, and we'll just see how it goes.
What does the Mike Florio mob voice sound like?
Gabagool.
Mike Florio.
Gabagool.
Yeah, some may say gabagool if we're getting really specific. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk here with us. So the big news of the day is Lamar Jackson gets the non-exclusive franchise tag slapped on him. And then all of a sudden, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Commanders, the Raiders, the Dolphins don't have any interest. This seems like collusion to me because of the Watson deal with the Browns. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. The accusation has already been made of collusion as it relates to the Ravens' refusal to give Lamar Jackson the same contract as Deshaun Watson, who got it last year despite having 20-plus civil lawsuits for sexual misconduct during massage therapy sessions hanging over him at the time. He still got a 5-year fully guaranteed contract from the Browns. And now, the minute that the Ravens apply the non-exclusive franchise tag, making it clear that by next week, and nobody had to make a decision today.
Yeah.
They can't start today. But all of a sudden, it's Falcons leaked to ESPN. Panthers leak to The Athletic, and then ultimately Dolphins leak to ESPN. They're not looking for quarterbacks. Josina Anderson of CBS Sports just reported the other day the Dolphins are going to explore all options, and my guess is they will. All options not named Lamar Jackson. So if you never start down the path of talking to him, you never hear him say, I want a fully guaranteed contract. You never ignore that request. So I guess it's harder to prove collusion. I don't know. I think they're making it easier, Zach, to prove collusion, because why in the world would all these teams all of a sudden make it known in the hours after this happens that they're not interested in adding a quarterback, they're not interested in Lamar Jackson? It stinks. It really does. And it's another reason why he needs an agent, because this is where an agent would swoop in.
Definitely
and
helps.
Start pestering those general managers repeatedly and making them interested in Lamar Jackson, finding a way to get something happening. Without an agent, there's no way to change this status quo.
What do you think ends up happening? Because we know that all it takes is one owner to break from the pack and operate what's in the best interest of their team. You got to think that will eventually come, and that then puts the pressure on the Ravens to match the deal or not.
Zach, I thought it was odd when Ron Rivera, the coach of the Commanders, sat with us at the Super Bowl on PFT Live, and he said they're not looking for a veteran starter. Sam Howell is QB1. He has since amended that to say he's not necessarily the starter, but he's QB1 for the offseason program. And I got to thinking, after they hired Eric Bieniemy, wouldn't it be something if they were just laying in the weeds and they were waiting to change that statement dramatically? Because at the time it was made, surely the Ravens would never let Lamar Jackson have an opportunity to hit the market as a franchise tag player, even if two first round picks are required to get him. And wouldn't it be something if Daniel Snyder, on his way out the door with a 5-year fully guaranteed contract that's going to tie the hands of Jeff Bezos or someone along those lines, and also gives a middle finger to the NFL at a time when the NFL doesn't want fully guaranteed contracts. There's just something about that that is intriguing to me, because it's a check that Daniel Snyder will write but never have to cash. And yeah, the money will kind of come out of the sale of the team, but when you're talking about $7 billion, I mean, it's couch cushion money to have Lamar Jackson signed for the next 5 years in a salary capped environment. So I'm watching the Commanders.
Well, here's the thing that I'll say to that is that Dan Snyder's like last ditch effort to maybe, I know, right, no one likes Dan Snyder, but if they then start winning games, fan base goes, okay, I'm fine with that, and there's not that much pressure from the fans to get Dan Snyder out.
Well, or if you are selling, you leave as a hero. You've delivered Lamar Jackson. You've taken him from the other team in your area while he's still in his prime, and you bring him to your team, and all of a sudden your team is relevant. Your team is a contender. Your team can be good after you're gone. And, you know, if the team does get better after Dan Snyder is gone, because it can't get much worse after he's gone, at least he can say, it's not because of all the other changes that were made. It was because of me getting Lamar Jackson on my way out the door. So there's something about that one that is very appealing to me. And until we hear that the Commanders are the latest team not interested in Lamar Jackson, I'm going to keep an eye on them, just because it would make too much sense if it happened.
Mike Florio here with us. Do you think any other teams are going to get involved in the Rodgers sweepstakes? Or this is just going to be by the end of the weekend, he'll be a member of the Jets?
Well, look, Zach, anytime that there's a team that's the betting favorite as far as the sports books are concerned, I assume they know more than the rest of us. It's kind of their reason for existing to know more than the rest of us. And the last time I checked, Aaron Rodgers was the favorite to go to the Raiders. I don't see it. I don't buy it. I don't think Josh McDaniels and Aaron Rodgers will get along. I would love it for our purposes.
Yeah.
I'd love the Jets a little bit more, because I just think that's a disaster waiting to happen, frankly, by the time it's all said and done. But the Raiders are the only other team, I think, that are out there. And if there's a team that he wants to go to in the NFC, and the Packers are taking the same position they did with Brett Favre 15 years ago, we're not going to trade you to an NFC team. We want to steer you out of the conference. I'd tell Aaron Rodgers, just retire now and unretire later, like Favre did, and put them in a spot where they have no choice but to send you where you want to go. I don't know that the Jets would be his first choice. I don't know what would be a good first choice for him right now, because I don't know what his real objective is at this point. And I don't know how thrilled he is about going somewhere else and having to learn new offense, new coaching staff, new players, new everything. And there'll be unprecedented pressure on him to be all in for the offseason program, something he's shown in recent years he's not interested in doing.
Does it help that Hackett's there with the Jets now?
Well, I think it definitely helps. And I think that Hackett was hired by the Broncos last year because the Broncos thought they were getting Aaron Rodgers. And it was 52 weeks ago today that we had the bang, bang, Rodgers is staying in Green Bay, Broncos pivot to Russell Wilson afternoon. And I wrote earlier in the day, Zach, that, you know, Aaron Rodgers says he's not holding the Packers hostage. After today, he's teetering toward holding the Packers hostage territory. And I think that implied within the news that he's meeting with the Jets very well may be the reality that he's not coming back to the Packers, unless he wanted to do a little due diligence on other options before he decides whether to play for the Packers. But I think the sense out there is real that the Packers are ready to move on. I just think they're concerned if they push too hard, Rodgers may go the other way on them.
Mike Florio here with us from Pro Football Talk has a new book out coming out soon, Father of Mine. When it comes to Jordan Love, I know Brian Gutekunst thinks he's ready. He's made that clear. What do you think the expectations would be for the Packers next year if, in fact, you do have Jordan Love under center, which that seems the way that we're trending towards?
Well, what are the expectations that they have Aaron Rodgers? Are they a team that we would view as a potential division winner in the NFC North, a potential number one seed like they were in 2021 and 2020? I don't know. I don't know where they are right now. They got some work to do to get under the salary cap. They got some good young players who are ascending at the receiver position. The defense is kind of a mess right now. Wasn't nearly as good last year as it was supposed to be. So I think the real question is, what's the difference between the expectations with Rodgers and with Love? And maybe they're not all that different. And maybe there's a sense of arrow is pointing up instead of flat or down with Rodgers toward the flat or down part of his career. And I thought it was important last week when Brian Gutekunst was asked about quarterback situation. He didn't say, we want Aaron Rodgers. We'll do everything we can to keep Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers. He said Jordan Love's absolutely ready to be the starter. I think that kind of tells us everything we need to know from Green Bay's perspective.
Should the Vikings or Lions, should they go out there and pursue the services of Lamar Jackson, in your opinion?
Well, see, the problem is for both teams, the quarterbacks they have are just good enough. And the question is whether just good enough is good enough for the two organizations. For the Vikings, just good enough has been good enough, in my opinion, for a very long time.
Yeah.
Let's be in the conversation for playoff berths. Let's get to the postseason once every two, once every 3 years. Let's be relevant at Christmas time when the little boys and girls of Minnesota are making out their lists and they want Vikings jerseys, not Timberwolves jerseys or Twins jerseys. I mean, there's relevance and value to that. I don't think the Vikings could pull it off. Frankly, you're talking about number one, unloading a fully guaranteed Kirk Cousins contract, somehow bringing on Lamar Jackson on his terms. And then number one, making Justin Jefferson happy contractually, and also coming up with a way for the offense to work where Justin Jefferson's money is justified by his production. So I'm fascinated by both possibilities. But I think Jared Goff's done enough to stick around with the Lions. And I think Kirk Cousins has done enough for the Vikings to keep waiting for an opportunity, not to go Lamar, because I think Lamar Jackson's just on the other side of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I think the Vikings, if they were going to make a move, it would have to be into upper echelon, clear-cut franchise quarterback.
It seems like if those teams were going to add a quarterback, the Lions or the Vikings, it would be so in the draft for a developmental kind of project like Anthony Richardson, where the upside's there, but probably won't see the field for another year or two.
Could be like 2017, where there wasn't really a clear sense of who the top guy was. And it was Andy Reid and Sean Payton who really loved Patrick Mahomes and kept their mouths shut. And Reid made his move at a time when he had a quarterback who was just good enough to get him to the playoffs, but not good enough, frankly, in all due respect, to get him to a Super Bowl. That's when he made his move, and it worked out with Patrick Mahomes. So you could be onto something there. And again, if they're doing it right, they're not telling anybody about it, because if they tell enough people about it, then all the people in the media who follow the draft start putting that guy in as one of the top guys. I think the teams that fall in love with specific players like it murky.
How are we talking about Mike Florio, Daniel Jones, a few years from now after he signed this four-year, $160 million contract, and you get all the clauses that you get into the contract, like you pointed out with Carr last year? Who knows what it actually is with this contract, but how do you think we're talking about him a few years from now, Jones?
And I'm glad you pointed that out, because the initial headlines are always different from the reality of the deal. And agents do that because they use the initial headline to recruit new clients. They forget about and they don't care about the headline that tells the real facts of the contract. But this gives Daniel Jones an opportunity to continue to develop under Brian Daboll. That's the key. There's no guarantee Daniel Jones would have been as good or better with someone else next year if he'd left. There's no guarantee that he would have been as good without Saquon Barkley. I think it was important for him to get the deal done so they could apply the franchise tag to Saquon and keep him around. And now the goal will be, at least should be, upgrade the receiver position to give Daniel Jones some targets. You know, we had this question on PFT Live yesterday morning, would you rather have Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins? I'm surprised Cousins won in a mini landslide. I think part of the reason is people are down on Jones because he wanted $45 million or more per year, whatever the number was. But I, you know, Daniel Jones fits better with what the best quarterbacks in the NFL currently do. And that is you have the ability to run the play that's called. You have the ability to make chicken salad when the play that's called goes to hell because you've got the mobility to improvise. And he did well without great receivers. You give him a great receiver or two, and all of a sudden, maybe he's a much better quarterback.
Where's DeAndre Hopkins, in your opinion, playing football next year? What are a few destinations that you're hearing, Mike Florio?
Well, you know, there's a lot of steam about the Cowboys, and they've been talking about going out and making a splash. And part of that is just Jerry Jones, the carnival barker, who likes to create as much excitement as he can for his team. Not that he has to try very hard to do it. There's been
drama. Dallas Cowboys. That's what they are.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And again, you don't have to try very hard. I mean, look how long it's been since they've been to an NFC championship, and they're still the biggest draw in the NFL by far. I think the Browns, a reunion with Deshaun Watson, is intriguing. The thing to watch, though, with DeAndre Hopkins, he had that 6-game suspension last year for PEDs, and he's facing a longer suspension if he does whatever it was he did that got him in trouble the last time. He's getting a little bit older. You got to wonder when the wheels are going to come off or if he's going to try to do something. And again, I know he said that he didn't do anything on purpose, but the bottom line is it's strict liability. It was in his system. If he wants to use some pharmaceutical enhancement to extend his prime, he's got to be concerned about getting caught again. So those are just factors to keep an eye on. Big name, was one of the best receivers in the NFL at one point. But, you know, for all these guys, except for Tom Brady, Father Time is undefeated.
When it comes to Derrick Henry, final year on his contract, Jacobs on a tag now, Saquon on a tag now. I know everyone's going to throw out Buffalo and the Eagles. Could you see the Cowboys actually getting involved with Henry? I know Pollard's on the tag, but maybe they get rid of Zeke and bring in Derrick Henry.
Well, that would be fascinating if it happened. But look, anybody that's going to trade for Derrick Henry has got to be ready to pay him. I really think, even though it hasn't come out this way, when you look at the facts, Derrick Henry last year, his contract, $10.5 million. My guess is he wants a raise or long-term security, and the Titans aren't comfortable giving it to him because for a running back, you never know when they're going to hit the wall. You never know when the wheels are going to come off. And it's not an indictment of the player. It's a reality of the position. So if he wants more than they're comfortable giving him, and you look at Rand Carthon, the new GM, he comes from San Francisco where they do revolving door, not one workhorse running back. I think that there will be an opportunity. I don't know about the Cowboys. I'm fascinated by the Bills or the Eagles. I'm intrigued by the Bengals if they would move on from Joe Mixon. But again, they're trying to go cheaper at the position because they have other needs. But there'll be somebody out there that wants Derrick Henry and wants to give him a shot. When he is in a position to get that first couple of steps, get that head of steam, that guy's Jim Brown. And I've seen no signs to believe that he's at the end of the career. I think he may have a couple of good years left in him.
Two more for Mike Florio before we let you run. You mentioned the 49ers. Can they get involved here with Lamar Jackson? I know they don't have a first-round pick this year, but they do get their first-round pick back starting in next year's draft and then the year after that. Could we see maybe the 49ers go get that missing piece and bring in Lamar?
The thing to remember about any of these teams that do not have their original first-round pick for the 2023 draft, technically they can't talk to Lamar Jackson until after this draft comes and goes, and then they have two consecutive first-round picks. You have to have your original first-round picks in the next two drafts to talk to him or sign him to an offer sheet. Now, they could try to work out a trade with the Ravens. They could do that. I don't think that they'd be ready to make that kind of a move again 2 years after what they did to get Trey Lance. This is Trey Lance or Brock Purdy with an emergency option that they could maybe try to activate by way of a veteran, mid-level guy. I still think that Tom Brady would be a possibility because he's wanted to go there the past couple of years, although his family situation complicates having him in San Francisco when his kids are on the East Coast. But he wanted to go there in 2022. I think something went on last year and they said no thanks again. But with Purdy and Lance, they better have a plan. I just think it's too hard to justify making another big move with draft capital when you've just done it with Trey Lance 2 years ago.
And then one last thing for you, Mike Florio, from Pro Football Talk. I want you to answer our poll question today. If the Jets land Aaron Rodgers, what are your expectations for them? Right now, here are the four choices: be in the Super Bowl, win the AFC East, be a wild card team, or miss the playoffs.
Wild card team, I would say. I think they'd make it in the AFC. But remember, with Favre, they were the number one seed at one point. And then he had that partially torn biceps tendon, and the wheels came off. And that year, what happened was the guy they threw overboard for Favre, Chad Pennington, went to Miami. They won the division. That was the Tom Brady ACL year, and Chad Pennington was the comeback player of the year. Yeah. So whoever gets thrown overboard by the Jets, watch out. Maybe that's the team that wins the AFC East or ends up in the playoffs.
All right, one more time before we let you run. Tell people how they can get on in on your new book, Father of Mine.
Pre-order anywhere you get ebooks, $4.99, the low, low price. There'll be a paperback, likely be an audio version, but you can lock in right now at the low, low cost of $4.99. You will get your money's worth when you consider right now you can't buy anything for $4.99.
Pro Football Talk, best website there is out there covering the NFL. He is Mike Florio, the man behind all the magic at PFT. We appreciate the time as always, Mike.
Thanks, Zach. See you, pal.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I only want to do the NFC for now when it comes to Lamar Jackson. Because, Hickey, I think if you are going to get rid of Lamar Jackson, you should consider all options. And all it takes is for him to agree to a new deal in the AFC. And then the next thing you know, right, he takes it back. And if they want to match it, then he doesn't go to the AFC. And maybe that plays, you know, stays in the AFC to, you know, go to another team in the AFC. But if you don't match it, then he could go somewhere in the AFC. But just in terms of interest level, I want to do a little will and should. Should they be interested and will they be interested? Only containing the NFC teams, because Florio, right away, when we asked him for a team, even though there's all these teams right now, like the Panthers, the Falcons, the Commanders, the Raiders, the Dolphins, that are hitting up their local beat writers or the national pundits, and we all know what's happening here. It's as clear as day. I don't think you could prove it, but you talk about collusion. The NFL owners don't want Lamar Jackson getting a fully guaranteed contract, because then that would be in back-to-back off seasons. Quarterbacks that get fully guaranteed deals. And the Haslam family, they were annoyed, the owners. The owners thought that was a mistake, but it does set a precedent, because how many times, Hickey, do we talk about when a quarterback gets a new deal, that resets the market? Now, a guy like Kyler Murray didn't get a fully guaranteed deal, but I don't think he has the resume. But a guy like Lamar Jackson, he can make the case to get a fully guaranteed deal because he's done nothing wrong off the field, like what Deshaun Watson's been accused of. And then also, he's accomplished more. Even if you may think Watson is a better all-around quarterback, Lamar has accomplished a lot more than Watson because he has unanimous NFL MVP attached to his name. So when you look at that, Lamar has every right to ask for a fully guaranteed deal. Doesn't mean you're going to get it, but I do think it's clear as day that the owners right now are all basically individually saying, oh, the Panthers, they don't have an option. The Falcons don't have an option at quarterback. The Commanders right now, it shouldn't be Sam Howell. The Raiders, the Dolphins. You know, Dolphins, maybe you could sell it. Okay, we have Tua. We're happy with Tua. I get that. But teams like the Raiders, the Commanders, the Falcons, the Panthers, you're really hitching your wagon. Maybe you go out and get someone in the draft. Okay, gets you off the hook. But if, let's say, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Commanders, the Raiders, only one of them find their quarterback in the future in the draft. If you're the Commanders, you're really going to try to tell me that Sam Howell gives you a better chance to win than Lamar? If you're the Raiders, you're going to tell me that Jared Stidham next year is why you wouldn't go give Lamar Jackson $215 million fully guaranteed or whatever it is? Falcons, Desmond Ridder, Panthers right now, Matt Corral, give me a break. So I think it's clear what the owners are trying to do, even though you probably can't prove it. But as we did discuss, that's right now. And eventually, when the dominoes start to fall and Bryce Young goes somewhere, Will Levis goes somewhere, CJ Stroud goes somewhere, Anthony Richardson goes somewhere, or those teams don't like some of those quarterbacks, and Rodgers gets dealt, let's say, to a team like the Jets, and Jimmy G winds up somewhere, you're going to be looking around, and there's going to be an owner or two that's going to say, okay, none of our options are as good as Lamar Jackson. And then that's when I think these talks will intensify. And maybe it has to be, Hickey, after the draft. where a team like Miami gets back their first-round picks for the future, or the 49ers get their first-round picks back for the future. Maybe it takes that long, or maybe it takes a team thinking they're going to be able to sign someone and they don't end up getting that player. Like the Jets, if I would anticipate Rodgers going to be, as I said, a Jet by the end of the weekend. But if Rodgers somehow gets cold feet in the 11th hour or wants to go somewhere else, then you're going to tell me Woody Johnson's not going to do whatever it takes to go land a Lamar Jackson? He absolutely should. So let's do a little will or should right now with just the NFC. I'm going to give you a team. You tell me, Hickey, will they pursue him? Should they pursue him? Dallas Cowboys.
Will not pursue. Ooh, should is tough. I would probably say should pursue.
I would be with you in 100% agreement. I don't think they will pursue him. Should? I'd rather Lamar Jackson than Dak Prescott. I just think there is more upside, and we've seen that upside before, where the last 2 years, even though Lamar has had his shortcomings in the postseason, Dak has never had a regular season like Lamar had in that unanimous MVP year, and Dak still struggles with the playoffs. We saw it the last 2 years up against the 49ers. The Washington Commanders, will they pursue him? Should they pursue him?
Yes and yes. Will and also will should.
And Florio brings up a great point. I looked at it as, okay, maybe this extends the ownership of Dan Snyder. This could be Dan Snyder giving the owners, because you know he's very petty and petulant, and he's done a lot of things wrong. He gave the owners one more middle finger where it's like, okay, you guys are kicking me out, even though he deserves to get kicked out. I'll go back and give Lamar a fully guaranteed deal.
Which, ironically, if it works out, Lamar stays healthy. He came in and destroyed the Commanders, and ironically, on his way out, could give him a gift that could bring him back to glory.
Yeah, and remember,
the irony.
RG3 and Lamar, very close from RG3's time with Lamar in Baltimore. You know, the Commanders and Shanahan did not handle RG3 the proper way going back to his injury.
But if Snyder's on the way out, maybe RG3 feels better about the direction of the franchise.
Sure.
Or just him, hey, Lamar.
I'm just saying it's interesting how that plays
right
out. Like, for example, you look at Favre and Rodgers potentially both going from Green Bay to New York. Then you see someone with injury problems in the past, different results going to the Commanders, where like one of his close friends or people that he had a good working relationship with in RG3 had his career ruined down there in D.C. It's just bizarre how those things kind of work out with those connections. 49ers, will they pursue Lamar? Should they pursue Lamar?
Will not pursue. I say should not pursue.
Okay, I would say they will not pursue, but they should pursue. What about, let me throw you a curveball here. I don't think they could get out of this deal right now with their current quarterback, the LA Rams.
I think they should pursue.
Bring McVay, maybe get him 2 feet back in on the franchise?
I mean, what I'll say is, I think they will pursue in part because we have seen no one manages the cap, maybe outside of the Saints, better than the Rams.
Eagles do.
They, I think, will Eagles as well. I think they could find a way to somehow give Lamar what he wants, get Lamar in there. If you look at the Ravens, too, you trade Matthew Stafford. It's probably the best quarterback you'll get back in a trade.
Well, that's the other thing. In this deal, because you hear about the 2 first-round picks, can they just negotiate with the Ravens to change that up?
Yes.
Okay. Give you another team. What about the Bears? They have Fields right now. They're going to get more draft picks. You know that because they're going to trade back.
Will not pursue, should not pursue.
I would say will not pursue. I think they should pursue. Because you could then, you know, send Fields, maybe then only 1 pick to the Ravens. You get Lamar. And then you have all these other picks from trading on back in the draft. Okay. I'll throw 3 more out there. Buccaneers.
Should pursue. I think they will pursue.
Should pursue. I don't think they'll pursue. That roster seems like they're getting rid of a lot of people. I know Godwin and Evans are still there. But that's major pieces. But I think the Bucs are going to be one of the worst teams in the league next year. Panthers.
Should pursue. Will pursue.
100% in agreement there. And the Falcons, who were all in under Sean Watson last year, and now all of a sudden, because of collusion, they have no interest on Lamar.
Despite the report today from ESPN saying they are not interested, and despite their own Twitter account retweeting stories about how they are not interested in Lamar Jackson, they should pursue. I think they will pursue.
100%. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. When we do come on back, we'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports. We call that segment the News Brief.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, let's start things off with Adam Schefter. Schefty says Aaron Rodgers contemplated retirement earlier this week, courtesy of ESPN.
We need to hear from Aaron Rodgers about what he wants to do, whether he wants to play, whether he wants to play in New York, whether he wants to go back to Green Bay, or whether he wants to retire. Those are really the options on the table. The Jets absolutely are interested. Why would they not be? You're talking about one of the great quarterbacks of all time. But it's a situation here where he still has to determine what he wants to do. Earlier in the week, there was a school of thought that he wanted to walk away from the game and retire. So if that's the case, then the Jets essentially are making a sales pitch to him today to convince him to try to play. We don't know, ultimately, what he's decided to do.
If I gave you the three options, Hickey, Packers, Jets, retire, Rodgers for this upcoming football season, how would you order them 1 to 3, most likely, least likely?
I will say Jets 1, retire 2, Packers 3.
Okay. I would go Jets 1, Packers 2, retire 3. I don't think there's a chance he retires, because let's say he meets with the Jets, and he's meeting with the Jets right now. Talked to him last night. The Jets flown out to California to meet with him today. If he doesn't like what he hears from the Jets, which I think he will, and I think he'll be a Jet by the end of the weekend, you think Rodgers has a problem with playing heel? I don't. I think he would then go back to the Packers and say, I don't want to get traded. I want to be on your team next year. You guys figure it out.
And what if they say, sorry, we're good, we're not having you? Either what, then trade
him? Then they have
him?
To cut him?
Have him be second string if no one wants him.
You think they would really do that?
Well, if Aaron Rodgers comes back and plays hardball, says, I want to return, and they say no, and they say, I don't care, all right, you're coming back as a backup.
I don't think Gutekunst has the cojones to do that. And the other thing I would say, if I'm Rodgers, you want to do that, I will be the biggest pain in the ass in that locker room. And I will talk to the media every day, and I will field questions, and I will walk the line where you don't suspend me, but I will make myself more available than ever. And I do think you would have a lot of people in the fan base that would be so annoyed at the Packers organization if that's the case. I don't think Gutekunst has the cojones to do that.
How would that benefit Rodgers, though, just being a bad guy? Like, I think they make him look 10 times worse than the Packers.
Is he looking like a bad guy? They don't want you. I still want to be there. If they can't find a way to trade him, that's their problem, not his.
Also says something about your level of play if no one wants to trade for you.
Well, it's not necessarily that. It's just that he's not willing to go to any of those teams.
I mean, he's being difficult then.
Yeah, I don't think that a lot of people would turn on Rodgers at that point. And also, you know what also would benefit Rodgers there? Anytime Jordan Love throws an interception at home, anytime Jordan Love has a bad game, you don't think there's going to be fans if Rodgers is your backup quarterback that wouldn't be chanting and advocating for Aaron Rodgers to get in and just wait for those fans and Gutekunst, wait for those fans if this would not happen in terms of this scenario playing on out. But wait for those fans to start chanting, fire Goody, fire Goody. Or chant like Lion Bryant or something like that. That would not end well for Brian Gutekunst. Colin Coward says that someone told him that Tom Brady won't be in the broadcast booth anytime soon. This courtesy of the Herd.
So somebody I trust outside of this building at Fox told me a couple of weeks ago, they said, I don't think Brady's going to be a broadcaster anytime soon. I think he wants to play. Remember, the San Francisco offense is built. Are you smart? Can you distribute the ball accurately? Can we pay you a good salary but not break the bank? We want to keep these weapons. I think you got to buy into this.
Well, here's what we know, and this is what I'm confused by this, Hickey. So Brady has already said he's not going to be in the Fox booth for 2023, and the earliest he would join is 2024. If Brady, let's say, goes to the Niners or goes to the Dolphins, how much longer is he going to play? I get it. He is defeated father time, but he's 45 going on 46. If he goes to Miami, or let's just say it's the Niners, is he really playing for more than a year? You know, maybe two max?
Two max. I would say you probably take a year by year, see how 2023 goes.
And if you win a Super Bowl, then you're done. I would think.
You would think with this guy, you don't know.
It's a perfect ending.
He had perfect ending in 2020. Said, I'm good.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, you're saying, no, but he came back for one more year with the Patriots.
I'm saying,
you're saying he should have walked away
when he won the Buccaneers in 2020.
Gotcha.
He had the perfect ending right there.
Sorry, I tried to erase that from my memory.
I still want to play. So, I mean, you would think you win a Super Bowl with the 49ers or Dolphins next year. That should be it.
But
I can't guarantee that.
For years, he said he wanted to play to 45, and he wasn't 45 yet. I do still think that was motivating him to get to 45 with how many times people told me we never get to 45.
You can't play to 45. Oh, yeah, I'll show you.
You can't play till you're 100, Tom.
I'll show you.
Brady out there with the cane. He's at the 10, the 5. Still finds a way to score past the Jets for a touchdown. Dak Prescott says he expects to play his entire career with the Dallas Cowboys. This courtesy of the Dallas Morning News.
100% I'm excited, to be a Dallas Cowboy. As I said, I mean, always dreamed to be here. Now that I'm here, I don't expect to play for any other team. And now it's just about winning. So just trying to get that done. And just to hear, obviously, as you say, in the front office, looking forward to an extension. So when that time comes, it'll happen. I'm kind of with Steven on it. It may just happen overnight. But when it happens, it'll be great.
He has 2 years left in that contract. I would not extend him this offseason. I would not commit more years to Dak Prescott at this rate. I got to see more from him. But if they really do believe he's your quarterback, it does behoove you to get the deal done now. But I don't think it's personally worth attaching another, 4 or 5 years to that contract. Because I got to see, with McCarthy being the play caller, if Dak can actually then improve in the playoffs, because they've had two great regular seasons where I think the defense is more dominated and has been the bigger story, even though we all look at Dak. And then come postseason time, Dak has let down that defense.
I'm going to say something you say to me all the time. Zach, you are using logic here when it comes not extending Dak Prescott. Probably most people are with you.
Let me acknowledge this. Before you continue any further, will and should. I'll play my own game. Should they extend them? Absolutely not. Will they? Yes. This offseason. And it'll be a slobber fest in Big D. Ugh.
Can't wait for that press conference.
Do me a favor. Let's get some sources in Dallas. Let's talk to Sean and RJ, who have basically a direct line to Jerry Jones. Whenever we get that news that Dak Prescott is getting a contract extension this offseason, I will be on the radio for one segment, 15 minutes, and I'm taking the rest of the day off because I'll be projectile vomiting because that makes no sense. I will use I can't say the first ever sick day because I did get COVID last year, but I will use a sick day that I have not used in a while.
You're on a minutes restriction, we'll say, for that day.
Do those sick days, do they carry over?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so I have a lot of sick days.
Oh, you have a ton.
You know what? David and Spike, this summer, I think I got the black lung pop. I think that's coming. Little Zoolander this summer. Let's go to Steve Ballmer. He's fired up. When is this new arena open?
2024.
Oh, he's fired up about the amount of toilets? Okay.
Toilets! 1,106 toilets and urinals. Three times the NBA average number of toilets and urinals. We do not want people waiting in line. We want them to get back to their damn seats at the end of the half before the game.
Did he say 1,106 toilets?
Triple the average of your normal NBA arena.
1,106 toilets?
That's right. Because he does not want anyone waiting more than 2 minutes to take a pee, and he does not want anyone in the bathroom when the game is going on. Kind of respect it.
That's a lot of toilets.
That's a guy who cares. There is no doubt about Steve Ballmer. He cares about his Clippers, whether it's on the sideline or that's putting money where his mouth is and making sure there's enough toilets where no one's going to have to wait.
This stadium seats 18,000 people. I don't think you need 1,106 toilets.
He's expecting to sell it every night. And you know what? No excuse now not to be in your seat. Start of the game. Good for you, Steve. Now, like I said, if it's, you know, tight crowd, maybe you have your own personal bathroom. That's also a plus, I would say.
Wait until those plumbing issues arise in that stadium. Turns into like FedEx Field where you got poop fall on your head during a game.
Well, you can make a joke that they won't even have enough people in the arena to cause some plumbing issues.
Yeah, are there even 18,000 Clippers fans? Finally, Steve Sarkisian Sark says the QB competition between Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning is wide open.
They all are open right now. I mean, I'm not worried about, you know, who's going to be on the cover of what magazine next week. You know, I'm more focused on, or is each guy focusing on what they need to do to develop to be the best player that they can be. It's like anything. Quinn has an entire year of a head start, you know. But I don't want to hold Arch back. I want to see how far he can take this thing and what it can look like.
Will either quarterback transfer if they lose this job?
For 2023, I'll say no. Like, I don't think they'll transfer in the summer. I think after 2023, if Quinn loses, I would say yes. I don't think Arch would transfer
because
after 1 year.
Because if Quinn loses, and I think Arch realized that there was a chance that you'd basically redshirt your freshman year when Quinn was there. But if Quinn loses the job, there goes the early path to the NFL that people were thinking about.
And his problem is he already transferred once, so he has to sit out a year.
Yeah.
Which also could factor in if you lose. I mean, if you lose the job, you're probably not going to get it back from Arch. But
wouldn't you then transfer right away if you were him then?
I mean, you have to, but just then you sit out a year, and now you just time till it gets pushed back and back. It's tough.
Quinn Ewers starting in Alabama a few years from now, probably. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.